At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
All right, we're here everybody, and we over here, you know, it's unfortunately we don't have video on this one because one of us here looks like he's about to go and either fight Eminem or go and be the progenitor of the Batman.
Look. You know that we both had a long weekend and all both right, had yeah. long work days. So I'm just like chilling right now, but I'm Demetrius. And Demetrius presents
the Blair City Podcast.
All right, so we are coming to you with the Last of Us Season 2 finale recap. So we're going, in our previous episode of this, we covered episodes 1 through 4. For this one, we'll be covering episodes 5 through 7 with a brief recap, mostly just talking about the major plot points and kind of just how we feel about the season and the series moving forward. For what's next week on the pod, we will be covering we will finally be getting into our Uchiha character study. So we're going to be starting next week with Itachi, followed by Sasuke, and then Madara. So before we jump into this recap, we will definitely be needing the legal spiegel.
Yep, so the purpose of this podcast is to explore digital and print media. All sources we reference are owned by the respective companies, and our thoughts and opinions are strictly our own and reflect no biases or corporate agendas. Your discretion is highly advised.
All right, for the Pulse of the People, for those new to the recap episodes, usually we start off with Pulse of the People, just get a general feel about how people are feeling about an episode of the week. In this case, mainly how people are feeling about the season finale and end of this season 2. Meech, how are you feeling? I feel like our prophecy has come true.
It really has, and while I'm both glad it happened, I'm also kind of peeved at where they left it off at. I'm like, bruh, why? Well, actually, I know why, because y'all wanted to milk us for all we got, but
Well, we'll talk about that.
Oh, yeah. But the people, apparently there's a huge drop off in viewership from the finale of this season in comparison to the first one. But do keep in mind that it was Memorial Day weekend. That's part of the reason. But then there's also people there like, I mean, it's all right for a finale. And then other people are like, bro, why there?
Yeah, so from what I'm hearing, it's split like we thought it would be, basically because of what happened. Comparing it to the game, we both are aware of what happened in the game. You played it, I watched the walkthrough game movie of it, knowing, you know, if this is just gonna be a spoiler at the top, since we've already covered episodes 1 through 4. If you haven't, just, you know, go back and rewatch it. So like, we know with Joel dying, that was obviously going to affect a lot of people. But with just the season 2 finale, I believe some people will get more into it, feel some type of way about Ellie more quickly than they would in the game, I would say. But a lot of it was kind of what I've heard is mostly writing and just how the depiction of the character, which we'll dive deeper into. That's kind of what I've been sensing. And since Abby has only been in about 2 to 3 episodes and like briefly outside of episode 2, where she does what she does, we haven't seen that kind of hatred for it. But as we get deeper into the discussion, we'll talk more about what to expect in season 3.
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely. And of course, we're not going to spoil exactly what happens in season 3.
Yes.
Because, well, even though, like, if y'all just go play the game or go watch a walkthrough, you know what happens. But to the layman who don't have that type of money or time, you know, whoever doesn't have that money or time, then it's whatever.
Just go to YouTube and watch it. But with that, we'll jump into the recap. So again, it'll be a brief recap of episodes 5 through 7. So spoilers incoming in 3, 2, 1.
All right. So for episode 5, Feel Her Love, it starts off with the WLF. They having a whole operation with Leon and Elise. And essentially, they basically say, like, oh, yeah, the cordyceps, they've gone airborne. They got spores, which I'm like, which made me realize that, oh, wait, they haven't been airborne this entire time. Like, the spores, which is actually, like, a huge part of the game, is like, oh, yeah, it's just now getting introduced. That's kind of crazy. But, yeah, and then you also got, you know, like, Ellie and Dina, they're, like, they're realizing that Nora is in Lake Hill. So, they going, and as you know, like, Ellie is in full bloodlust mode. She ready to kill, but then you also got Dina, who's very understanding of her and of her desire for revenge, especially considering the fact that like, oh yeah, Dina's like, she's ride or die, she's supporting her, even though Ellie wants to, like, push her away and, like, go back home, because I'm seeing all these dead Seraphites and I don't want to bring you in here, especially since you're pregnant with our baby. No, it's not her,
which they find out at the end of the episode. Well, which Ellie finds out at the end of the episode.
So they're just going out together. They end up encountering some stalkers in the game at a warehouse. Ellie was about to sacrifice herself. And saves them? But none other than the third member of this love triangle, or whatever mess this is, Jesse, as well as Tommy. Our new dad, especially since old dad is kind of gone. But yeah, so they managed to avoid some WLF. They see some Seraphites disemboweling some people, you know, being very brutal. And then a Seraphite shoots Dina right in the leg with an arrow. Kind of crazy. Jesse, like, he out here telling, like, girl, shut up while we trying to get this thing pushed out. I'm like, bro, that is not the reaction you should have. You should do your best to make her calm down. But then it's like all that chaos is happening, right? Ellie finds the hospital. She finds the hospital. She managed to get to Lake Hill. She sees Nora and she got the blicky out. And Nora, like, she immediately go, like, hey, I'm sorry about how brutal Joel's death is, but he still had to go, though. He still had to go, and they fight for a little bit. They face some infected soldiers, which infected Nora with the spores. But of course, Ellie is the immune one, to which she goes, like, oh, you're that girl. Oh. Yeah, and then Ellie reveals that, yeah, I knew all along. I knew all along that, like, Joel killed everybody to save me, and that, like, I was the key to saving all of humanity. But we ain't about that right now. Where's Abby? And she goes full Joker on Jason Todd on her.
That was cool. Well, we see with the revenge tour that Ellie's on, her turning down that path of brutality, similar to what we saw with Abby, in a sense. And over the course of the series, we kind of see that parallel, which was always interesting with it. But just, like, I believe this is the first time where Ellie gets, like, super brutal.
Oh, yeah.
The show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at least, like, to an actual person and not because if it's, like, a regular person, she uses, like, fight, self-defense and all that. No. She's going out of her way to beat the brakes off of Nora.
And just, like, that just juxtaposition between season 1, where we see her interactions with, you know, the two brothers, and how she was just, like, you know, finally made a friend in him, the little one, and that he ended up in, just like over time how she became colder and colder and colder to people, and ultimately, like in the season, losing who is her dad, that just changing her completely. So the brutality of Nora, and then where that ends off, we then go to episode 6, which is a flashback episode, which a lot of people considered either one of the two best episodes of the season, if you want to get into it.
Oh, yeah. So it starts off in 1983 with Joel and Tommy. Turns out like they were like they're pretty much like on edge, you know, due to their father. It turns out like he was like there's his father, Javier. It turns out like Javier is like was abused as a kid, and basically like, hey, I want you to do better, Joel. Then pretty much Ellie and crew are in Jackson. It's like her 15th birthday. Ellie like burns her arm to cover like her bite mark, because hey, as people see a bite mark, either she gonna get clapped right then and there, or she has to reveal she's immune, which would be crazy. But yeah, Joel gets her a cake and a guitar. Then like her 16th birthday happens. She gets to, like, go on top of a dinosaur statue. You get her 17th birthday where it's shown like she was smoking. She was smoking and getting it on. And essentially, like, you've seen, like, Ellie grow up, and also slowly seeing, like, their, like, the beef between them, like, the distance between them growing, because of fact, like...
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Oh, yeah, because essentially Ellie moves out, and then it's like her 19th birthday is when she starts thinking like, hold on, what Joel like told me like ain't right. But then they go on patrol together. They find Eugene, who was bitten, and he wants to like go see his wife one more time. I think Spawn. Ellie wants to go, and Joel kills him. Is like, why
he told him, go look at the flowers, Eugene.
Nah. not that, but yeah, so essentially like Ellie, like she sees that and then sees like Joel lying to Gale saying like, oh yeah, he killed himself. Basically like she blows up at them like and exposes everything, and then after the New Year's party, you know, that happened all the way in the earlier episodes, like essentially Ellie is like, hey, just tell it to me straight. I ain't here for the lies. I ain't here for none of that. All right. And Joel admits it, basically saying like, hey, yeah, I did what I had to do to save you, but doomed humanity. And I was like, wow, you really did that, because you took away my life purpose to save these people. And he's like, I have no regrets, because I love you. I love you like a daughter, and I only want to like what's best for you. And then she's like, I don't know if I can forgive you, but I'm willing to try to forgive you. And of course we know what happens to him like right after that. And it returns back to the present where Ellie returns to the theater after beating the brakes off Nora.
You know, that scene is so beautifully acted, with just how Pedro Pascal as Joel, he doesn't really like say, yeah, I killed everybody. She's asking him questions. He's just like crying and he's nodding because he's like too afraid to admit it, which parallels even the first episode where the doctor is like, hey, you did something terrible. Stop wasting my time. Just tell me what you did. And you can see him tearing up and he's like, yo, I'm a good person. Yo, I do the right thing. And with that now is being exposed, because Ellie, even with saying that, hey, you kill Eugene in front of the wife, it was kind of just like with him being like, yo, you lied to me so easily. You lied to me so easily then. And it was the same exact face you had when you said that, hey, you saved me from the hospital or whatever. So I think what's really interesting, because the creators of the show officially confirmed that they could have made a cure. I believe it was always kind of ambiguous whether they could or not, but
yeah,
it's really interesting to see, especially as we get into the next episode, how they, I don't want to say doubling down because we haven't reached the end of the series yet, but just like really hammering home the point of revenge is bad, and there was a reason Abby did what she did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure, for sure. Because it cuts now. Because now we get to episode 7, where it all goes down, because it's called Convergence, and it's Convergence for a reason, because good heavens. All right. So Ellie comes back, and she literally, like, spills her guts out to Dina, basically telling, like, hey, you know, Joel, like, killed all the Fireflies in Salt Lake City to save my life, and Abby's father was a casualty, and this really unnerves Dina a bit. It really unnerves her. She wants to leave and go home, and they still in Seattle, and her and Jesse go and try to find Tommy, and they're arguing the whole time because Ellie's just out here doing the most out of this out of the revenge, and, you know, like, putting, like, the lives of everyone they care about in danger. Then the WLF, they assault the Seraphites. This is where Jesse finds out that Dina's pregnant with his child, and he's like, wow.
And basically, he waved a flag the entire episode from that point on.
Yep. As soon as a baby daddy finds out that his ex is pregnant with his child, you kind of knew.
Jesse would have been better served just wearing a shirt that said, I'm going to die at the end of the episode, because he kept saying, yo, I have to live. Like, we're going to get back. I'm going to take care of my kid.
I'm loyal to the community. I'm like,
oh, my God.
Oh, no, I liked you.
Waving the flag.
You was a voice of reason out here.
Which is crazy that you mentioned that, because he said, hey, I didn't vote for you, Ellie. I'm glad you made that assumption, but I didn't vote for you because you were a destructive force, which we really see in this episode, where everything you touch gets destroyed, in a sense.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they're in Seattle. They find Abby and like, Ellie, she wants to go out for her immediately. So they end up, like, separating. Jesse going for Tommy. Ellie goes to the aquarium. The WLF leader, they're attacking the Seraphites. And while there was, like, a giant wave. And Ellie is pretty much apprehended. But then the WLF attacks and just completely start decimating folks. So Ellie's able to escape in the carnage. But then she finds Owen and Mel. And you know what's happening, because Ellie immediately took Owen out.
Ellie kind of sold the situation, because I feel like she let Owen think he was in control instead of establishing control herself of the situation, which was similar with Nora, where it's like she let them talk, do all this talking, and she should have been like, there is no talking. You gonna do what I say? I'm in control. But she let him, you know, start to ease his way and stuff like that until we get to the shocking tragedy of it all.
Oh, yeah. But also, another shocking tragedy is when she shoots Mel, and Mel is pregnant.
Yeah.
And Mel, like, she's like, hey, save my baby. Do a C-section. Do what it takes, like, so my baby can survive. And Ellie, she just can't. She's just in shock the whole time. So Mel and the baby are both killed by Ellie.
As a sea baby, I was like, I did not want to watch that. But that was sad. You know, and Ellie's kind of realization of, oh, my God, what am I doing on this path? Because I don't believe she said she wasn't going to kill them. I kind of believe it if they would have told her where Abby was, though.
Yeah. So, yeah, probably. Well, because then we did see Owen slowly pull out his gun.
She didn't have a choice in the matter, but obviously because all of them are so loyal to Abby, like even with Nora, we saw that, where it was just kind of, yeah, I got to do what I got to do now.
All right. Well, Tommy and Jesse, they find Ellie, and it's like, basically, she's like, I'm so sorry, guys. We need to go home. Thank you. Thank you for rescuing me, Jesse. And it's like, oh, yeah, absolutely. It's not a problem. Bam! Jesse immediately killed by Abby.
Because they heard a disturbance out in the main part of the theater, and they both ran out to try to, you know, investigate.
Which, again, skin to win, because we ain't investigating nada. I don't care. So, but yeah, our prediction came true. Jesse dead. Tommy is being held at gunpoint. And Ellie, like, she's starting to, like, see, like, oh, the Joel in the situation. She's begging. She's on her knees begging Abby to, like, let Tommy live. And pretty much reveals, like, she's the killer. Abby, she's like, she's basically in full, like, anger, grief, revenge mode herself.
It's psycho.
Like, yeah. And he's like, hey, you wasted the chance I gave you to live. And then this is where the part that got people mad. You hear a gunshot, and then it cuts to 3 days earlier.
Yep.
And that's where, and it cuts, like, on Abby's perspective. And that's where the episode ends.
Yes.
Or the season ends.
Yeah, so they definitely pulled a Walking Dead, and we're probably not going to figure out what happens until 2027 or 2028, based on how the release of HBO Max TV shows go with the years. But how are you feeling about these last three episodes?
That's it. I think it's pretty good. It's like they're somewhat expanding a little bit upon the game with different aspects, like you seeing Dina being actually more of a active character despite getting a shot in the leg, you know what I'm saying, and being pregnant. Like, it makes Jesse's, like, death kind of hit slightly harder, because, like, you're actually having more of a chance to, like, be with him, and him actually still being the voice of reason throughout everything. Mm-hmm. Like, you're seeing, like, again, it's just expanding upon it. I think it's, like, it was a goodish story. I just had that feeling, like, there was no way they were going to adapt all of Last of Us Part 2 into, like, a 7-episode season, unless they rushed through everything, which I'm glad they didn't.
Yeah, for me, it's been a bit of a roller coaster in terms of, I feel like it's been solid, definitely trending like episode 5, you know, revenge story. We finally get to see Nora. I feel like everybody was still on board with Ellie. Episode 6, absolutely incredible. I think that and episode 2 are the episodes that people have kind of been talking about the most from this season. Obviously, episode 2 being the most shocking one, and episode 6 being like a rehabilitation therapy session for everybody. But I think in just episode 7, knowing that it felt kind of rushed for some reason. I mean, I know, like, there is a perspective change, and this was, like, one of the main reasons people got so mad in the game, where, should I say this? Well, essentially, you're in Abby's perspective for a very long time, and then also the ending of the game is what really took people off. But it's definitely interesting. I definitely want to see in season 3 how far they take Ellie's character, because I know they're making a point to say, hey, revenge is bad. This is not good. Stop getting in your feelings about this, which a lot of people are in their feelings about with it. But understandably, they're kind of making her not likable at all. And as the protagonist, that's kind of hard to follow, because then you're kind of going to be, we both know how it ends, but at the end of it, you're kind of sitting like, what did I watch? And I feel like a lot of people don't want a lesson on morality in an apocalypse show, but at the same time, what is so good about the show is, even with season 1, that's a morality question. You know, the train on a track, do you take out a group or do you save the take out the one. So.
Yeah, and then also another thing about that is that, like, when, like, just a little bit about the game is, like again, as I said, we are getting into Abby's perspective, and let's just say at a certain point, you do encounter Ellie again, except you ain't playing as her for a certain point in the game. So it's like I'm starting to think like they're going down that route where in order to make you more like to more sympathetic towards Abby while also similarly kind of demonizing Ellie a bit, similar to how they tried to do in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of doesn't work, especially since you had a chance like to follow Ellie for a whole season beforehand, and you just basically shoehorn this other character in.
I also think the fact that is in the game, you are Ellie. Like, it's not like with the show, it's like Ellie is a character that you're watching make these decisions, you know, how they move and whatever. When you're playing the game, you are the character. You are Ellie. You are the one like going on the missions, being effective, taking people out. I don't believe there's any decision choices, right? Like, it's not like any decision-based game type. So you're obviously following the story because there's one thing at the end that a lot of people would have chosen, which they didn't get the chance to choose. But with that, yeah, I just think it's tough with that because, man, you know, we're so used to the revenge story. And I know in the last episode we talked about how, you know, say a John Wick, how he is in the wrong with it, or how Joel is in the wrong. Depending on perspective, Abby is right, or Abby's wrong. Ellie's right, or Ellie's wrong. But either way, you see the revenge just going deeper and deeper. And I think that with this, they're trying to emphasize it early on so that when we do get to the end, they're like, hey, you see the point of the game too.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And also, again, it's like the just the aspect of just this dynamic of Abby and Ellie. It also goes to show like the whole thing that like the theme of this season,
mm-hmm.
which is revenge is the poison, a cycle of hatred, if you will. Shout out to my goat.
All right, so with that, we can get into our MVP or off of the season. Which way direction are you going?
Ooh, this is tough because you can make arguments on both sides that this one person fits on both sides if you're thinking about it, depending on whose perspective you're going down. But I'm gonna have to give op of the week kind of goes to Abby a bit, especially for taking out my boy Jesse, who in my opinion was my MVP because of just how level-headed he was throughout this whole shebang and was slowly able to get Ellie out of her funk until he got clapped.
Yes, out of her petulance.
Yeah, so, yeah, as I said, like, Op, Abby, MVP, Jesse, for how long we got him.
Do you have an MVP of the season as well? That one was hard for me.
Oh, that one's very tough considering how this season is technically not finished.
Yeah, you're right.
It's technically not finished, even though we know what happens.
Yes.
We have to like keep it in the context of that season. And I honestly can't really give anybody anything right now.
The closest I came was Dina. Because, like, she, like, when Ellie was like, hey, I'm going for revenge, I'm going to Seattle. And then Dina was like, hey, how are you going to get there? What are you going to do? What kind of guns are you going to bring? What are you packing with the horse? What kind of clothes do you need? From those, like, middle episodes up until she got shot in the leg, she was really kind of, like, down with Abby, not Abby, with Ellie helping her along the way and progressing. But at the same time, you know, episode 2, she kind of got... She was kind of like the hostage that was there when Joel, and she kept saying his name, so revealing him. So she kind of sold in that direction as well. But obviously, off of the season is Abby. She's the one progressing things along with that. So, yeah, it's hard to give an MVP right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Almost nobody gets it.
So with that, once we wrap up to the end of a season, we usually go hit or miss based on the success of the season, and then just like feedback how people are feeling. Meech, what you got on it?
I'd say it's a hit. I'd say like people still love the show. It's still just as divisive as it was, but many critics find it to be a success. Some people find it a success, myself included. Despite that, to where like, hey, we get to have these discussions and like talk about, hey, was Abby right? And that's not a conversation people are wanting to have, you know? But yeah, I'll give it a hit.
I do think it's a sensitive hit. Definitely people are torn on it. I think season one, because obviously we weren't presented with that dilemma that we have now in season two of right or wrong. You know, obviously with Joel and Ellie, we had two protagonists that we were rooting for. There was a clear goal to it. And the series itself wanted you to root for them and that goal. Up until the end of season two, obviously the show is being written in a way where it's saying, hey, this you shouldn't like this character, which is kind of tough when you're watching it. And then also, you know, Joel was in three episodes and in a 7-episode season, and two of the episodes were the best episodes in the season, which kind of like, you know, talks about how strong your new protagonist is, which is kind of tough with in that perspective. But I will say it is a hit overall. As we transition to our big questions of the week, my thing is how much of the momentum of this show can carry over, because obviously people are going to be carrying this. I know divisiveness is a word that's thrown around a lot, so I don't want to really use that one, but people are going to be carrying around kind of the struggle that we're having right now into season three, which is going to take probably some time. And then apparently it's going to wrap up in 4 seasons, like at minimum. So that means they're going to stretch season three, the part that people were really mad at, a long time.
Oh, no. Oh, that just changed up my big question immediately.
So we're getting a three season revenge arc when we're already kind of off board after, well, not off board. We're kind of rocking the boat as Ellie was by the end of season two.
Oh, goodness. That news kind of hurt. All right. So here's my thing, right? My main question is, or like big question is like, all right, once the perspective shifts to Abby for now, what seems to be a very extended period of time, is it going to help or hurt? Is it going to help people see her point of view, or are people just going to be like, screw this girl, give us more Ellie, we want to see Ellie break your kneecaps?
But it's funny, I think a lot of people are already in their camps with it, one way or the other, especially if you played the game and you felt some type of way about the game, or if you actually loved how they progressed about it. So I feel like people are in their camps that way and aren't going to be easily swayed. So then you're going to potentially have people hate watching season three and season four. But I do think that with season three, they're going to try their best to make Abby a relatable and human character that you sympathize with.
Ooh, that's going to be wild.
Like, I think they're going to go way out of their way to do that. So with big picture view and kind of predictions, since you play the game, this next part with the season three with the perspective switch, I didn't really see. There are some things I'm tangentially aware about, but I just kind of don't really know it. Big picture view, it just goes back to the point where I really do think they try to make Abby a sympathetic character, where by the end of the series, if they end season two in the series where the game ended, okay, this makes sense. I do think they're gonna really try to do that.
Yeah, and then also it's like with Abby's perspective, there's gonna be an introduction of a certain character that kind of like helps kind of like ease things with Abby. But then like at a certain point, like, I mean, you've seen it, but there's like a point in the game where Ellie out and out looks like to be the one in the wrong. So, at least in terms of big picture, like, that is that gonna like truly help, or is like that's only gonna like hurt the show's ratings more because of the fact like, oh, you're making like my main character unlikable, because it happens in comics where like, oh, why'd you make like my character like the most unlikable one here? Look at you, Green Lantern,
Reed Richards,
or Reed Richards, or even in anime, you've seen like Light and Death Note,
yeah,
and his descent into madness, or Lelouch, even though it was all part of his plan.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, I guess time will tell. See, like, or Aaron Yeager, except Aaron Yeager did nothing wrong.
Episode.
I had to get him in there somehow. But yeah, it's just that angle of it.
Dang, I was really about to have the Aaron Yeager discussion because I feel like a lot of people, he was not unlikable even until he did what he did. We understood his perspective the entire time. So, just even with Ellie. But so, yeah, I think that's the big picture view. So anything else you got on Last of Us Season 2?
No, I think we covered it pretty well.
Perfect. So with that, we are going to transition into the what's hot. So that's what's popular or new in anime, movies, television, TV shows, gaming, and the like. So Meech, what you got?
All right, so besides the usual, you know, like anime, Daima completed their dub, to which they also released DLC in Xenoverse 2, which is kind of crazy, of Super Saiyan 4 Daima Goku and Super Saiyan 3 Vegeta. We also have, right, we have our One Piece. You got My Hero Academia Vigilantes, Go-Go Lose a Ranger, which again, phenomenal. Flames, even. Comics, I actually do want to mention, Marvel and DC have finally crossing over again, and they released what the first crossover is.
That's crazy.
Batman and Deadpool. Good Lord. Is that about to be one of the craziest one-shots?
That's going
to
be insane.
Because you already know, Batman does not jive well with people who talk too much.
Exactly.
And you know Deadpool. Oh, you know the fourth wall break with Deadpool. You're like, oh, yeah, this intercompany crossover. Wow, somebody must be broke. And then Batman trying to stop Deadpool at each time. I'm like, man, get your ripoff Moon Knight looking. Oh, wait, hold on. You're the original. Whoops.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we got that. You know, Miles Morales still out here. Peter Parker actually attempting to make a name of himself. But then Ultimate Peter is still the best Peter. I'm saying nothing more about that. Just read Ultimate Spider-Man. Keep on going. You got the Spider-Verse versus the Venom-Verse. Yes, you got the two verses of a symbiote verse and the Spider-Verse. They collide in for a crossover in which they're fighting each other.
We got to see the Mary versus Peter.
Ooh. Ooh, no. Actually, she's not in it.
Really?
No, it's like five symbiotes and then five Venoms and five spider people. And none of them are Mary Jane.
Interesting.
Which I'm like, oh, thank you. But then one of them is actually an Eddie Brock from an alternate future where he was the King in Black and then just straight up returned to being Venom. I'm like, I want you.
Please.
I'm like, please, I need you. I don't care if you came from a universe where Spider-Man died while you was the King in Black. Honestly, I think that might have been better. But Marvel ain't gonna go for it. But yeah, moving on. Spawn be spawning. All right. Keeping it pushing. We got ourselves in the movie sphere. You know, the Badlands. Yeah, you know, them Badlands is coming up soon, and I'm here for it. We saw Final Destination 6, new trauma appeared.
Generational trauma.
Yes, yes. Where's my penny at?
Stop. That's why they're going out of production now.
Exactly. Also, speaking of, we're just gonna touch into real life. You know the Annabelle doll's on tour, right?
On tour?
Yeah, yeah. The Annabelle, the most haunted doll in the United States, is on tour, and then they lost it.
Did they lose it or did it escape? That's the question.
They can't find it.
Oh, that's not good. Where do they lose it at? That's what I need to know.
Its last known location was San Antonio.
What? Why'd you tell me that? No.
You asked for it.
Why?
You asked for it. So it's somewhere here.
It's too close.
We are cooked. Somebody called the National Guard. Actually, somebody called Prevost. We need some Chicago energy right now. We need some from the Chi-Town because...
I'm too...
Oh, no, it can't be me. It can't be me. I can't go out like that. All right. But that's all I got. What you have?
All right. And gaming news, EA College Football 26, I believe, has a July release. But it also, we have the two cover athletes for it and then different covers as well. TV shows Weak Hero Season 2 dropped. It's a K-drama. With that, it is so... I started watching season one. It is so good. Next, we got Lazarus on HBO Max, kind of like a spiritual successor to, in a sense, Cowboy Bebop in terms of the style, how they use the animation and the music with it. Next, Netflix has on Friday, May 31st, or no, Saturday, May 31st, whenever the May 31st is, they have like a To Doom festival with that. So they're going to release a lot of different trailers, release dates. I just saw the One Piece season 2. It wasn't an announcement trailer, but it was a teaser trailer. We're getting our boy Chop Chop. So I'm excited about that. Next, Gen V season 2 was confirmed / announced for that. So, oh, you're making a face. Let's talk about it.
Chance, man.
You're right. Yes. That is that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And also, yeah, two other things. On Netflix, I recently watched Forever. Go watch. It's actually really good. Some people have cried. I am not one of them.
Is that a telenovela one or is
it no? Forever. It's black owned, and you know it's just about the woes of two elementary school lovers who reconnect in high school, and you see the woes of that relation. And then finally, Five Nights at Freddy's officially dropped on Dead by Daylight. In the PTB right now, the killer is Springtrap, and he got jump scares. he actually has jump scares built into his kid. So whoever's, I have to give him a play.
Nice. And then just to quickly wrap it up, Severance season 2, obviously released recently. I've been going through season 1. Absolutely incredible show. We have Karate Kid Legends that is releasing this weekend. Mission Impossible, the quote-unquote final one, is coming out. Well, has already come out. Bring Her Back. The creators that did Talk to Me, they're releasing a new horror movie. That one looks so unsettling compared, and Talk to Me was unsettling, but this one looks like even worse than that. So that's something, if you're a horror fan, to be excited for. And then obviously Lilo and Stitch was another thing that's released in theaters. So with that, we can get into our plugs and get up out of here.
All right. So for our Instagram, X formerly known as Twitter and Threads, we're on the Blurred Cities 22. Like, comment, subscribe, stay up to date on all notifications. We have our Discord linked in our Instagram page for pure degeneracy. We have our YouTube and our Patreon under Blurred City Pod. You want to donate some extra chatter, get access to very exclusive episodes never before seen. We also have our email address, blurredcity22@gmail.com. want to send episode suggestions, your thoughts on The Last of Us Season 2 and your prediction on Season 3, questions for our Q&A sessions and the like. Hey, go ahead and shoot us an email. And if you want to send hate mail, go ahead and do so. It only goes into the spam box. Finally, I am the Jedi Born on Mustafar on Instagram and TikTok. However long we got TikTok left. And what you got?
All right. For my individual author pages, we have my Instagram. That is at Mitri_dash. That is Mitri_dash. For my X/ Twitter, that is at TheMad-16. And if you're interested in my book, Phantom Reckoning, that is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Kindle. So again, we will be coming back next week with our Uchiha character study. Wouldn't we touch on Itachi? Kicking that off, then we're going to proceed with Sasuke and Madara. So, as we always do, we like to leave you with some words of encouragement. Meech, what do you have?
All right. So, for my words of encouragement is that try your best to understand the other's perspective before you go out trying to get revenge. Because otherwise, you may both end up blind.
All right. And as we always say, it's not goodbye forever. It's just goodbye for now. And that's the Blurred City Podcast.
See ya later.